Pastor, one thing I'm noticing is that most churches are chasing after some of these same church growth strategies that don't really work anymore, and a lot of them are missing some of the things that actually matter. So in this conversation, we're going to unpack what's working for churches right now that want to grow. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about the most overlooked opportunities for church growth in 2026. Should be a good conversation. I think that everybody wants to see their church grow. And I think the landscape of how churches grow right now is changing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with just the rise of AI and the world that we live in today and what we'll live in a few years will be unrecognizable to us pre-pandemic, I would even say. So it should be a good conversation for us today, Ian.
Yeah, we're definitely, I agree, Thomas. We're seeing some shifts and some changes, definitely due to AI, but also there's some tried and trues that still haven't changed that I think because they're tried and trues and things are changing, churches kind of can tend to abandon some tried and true methods as well. So,
some of them are, and we'll start with one. The first one that we'll talk about here today is you need to dial in your follow-up funnel. That's something that we've been preaching here for years. So I would say that it's tried and true. But I find that just when I talk to pastors, this is something that we just overlook. Like I think that here's what I usually hear is that people have some kind of a follow-up system in place, but they're not actually working it. I know that the church I pastor at, I inherited a follow-up system of sorts, but as far as it actually being implemented and it actually like having steps that are being taken to engage people after they visited for the first time, like they just weren't really happening the way we said that they were. So it's been a whole process of getting that all dialed in now for us. And we've already seen some of the fruit of that as we start to take it seriously, but I don't know, maybe you could help us figure out what do we mean by follow-up funnel, Ian? What are we talking about there?
Yeah, so quite simply, when you get visitors, what is your process for following up with them? And when we talk about a funnel, we're talking about a process, not just a one and done reach out to them with a text or a call or an email or whatever after they visit. There's a process and an ongoing sequence and those types of things. This is actually good timing with Easter coming up, Thomas, right? We've seen for years that a lot of churches, most churches always see an influx in visitors, but they don't always see them return. A lot of this is because they don't have a good follow-up funnel. So,
Totally. I think it's important to recognize why we call it a funnel is because what we're talking about is we recognize that not everybody that gets onto our church website or visits our church is going to become a member. And that's okay. Yeah. The goal is to get as many as possible, like narrowed down and becoming fully committed, serving, giving, contributing, discipled members of our church. And so the idea is how do we take the big crowd, the group of everybody in your community, and narrow it down to people that attended and people that attended more than once and people that have joined a life group and people that have gone to our new believers class and people that are going to get involved in leadership and taking some of those kinds of steps. So really nailing that. One thing we've found at our church, and we've really tried to lean into this, is that we're actually in some ways, we have plenty of automation, but we're moving away from like digital automation for at least one piece of communication. And it's been so game changing is that first text. We actually have that coming now from whoever the primary speaker was, and we send it on Sunday, and the rule is by 5 o'clock, that first text has to be sent out. So usually it's our lead pastor. I'm the executive pastor. A couple of weeks ago, I preached, and I sent out 4 different text messages to the 4 visiting families that came that week. The response rate is through the roof when it's not some like mass-produced text that's obviously just a template, but it's actually saying something, hey, it was so good. Glad I got to shake your hand. I wish I could have talked more. I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. And so often those people will respond back and say, thank you. It means so much to me that you would send this to me. So we've moved away from automation in that way. And that just that one piece right there has really helped us get people to take that next step in the funnel there. So this is the secret sauce. Like this is something that really does work. So my recommendation is this year, really try to lean into making sure you have a funnel, you have a process you walk people through, and then you actually execute on it. That's the big thing that I think a lot of churches miss.
Yeah, exactly. Actually do it, execute on it, and have that organized. So good. Well, this next growth opportunity in 2026 that we're going to cover is having family ministry with a purpose. Now, what do we mean by that, Thomas? Because I know most churches all have some sort of family ministry. They got kids, youth, adults. Yeah. So what do you mean with a purpose?
Well, so what I'm thinking about here and what we've seen a lot of results and what we're hearing from our churches a lot is that when we make family ministry not just a one-way street where it's just youth pastor or children's pastor directly communicating to young people, but actually try to pull in young people into more and more responsibility, we're seeing like really young people rise to the top. I've been kind of pressed by this lately. I think back to my early days in ministry, and I was given way more responsibility than I should have been given at a very young age. When I was 18 years old, I became the head Levite of our church, and I was involved with all the setup and tear down, and I drove the van to and from church buildings where we were meeting in different places, and was just given way more responsibility. And then they actually even asked me to preach when I was 19 years old at a medium-sized church. And I got to thinking more and more, we're becoming worse at that, I guess, as churches. I see, as I talk to pastors, and I know even just in our own church, we are not as intentional in getting young people, I'm talking high school age or even junior high age kids, getting them involved in places of service and places of leadership even too. Yeah. And we're seeing as we do that, we take risks, and we know that these are things that are risky because a lot of times high school kids, hey, they're going to let you down a lot of times. They're not going to do it exactly as you plan them to do it. But when we do that, I think the risk is worth the reward. Now, don't be ridiculous if a high school guy is sleeping with his girlfriend or something like that, and you know, you don't make him the leader of your life groups and those things there. You're not going to do that. But within reason, if you see the right kind of character and they're making strides, take the risk and do it. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah, and it can be a buildup. It's not like someone who's not developed at preaching and you just throw them up there. You know, I know you said that they had you preaching at a young age, but you know, I mean, obviously someone I think needs to be competent enough and ready to deliver a good message, but it could be a buildup as well with youth. And I know my church, I'll say this too, my church, I believe, does a very good job of this. Now, again, as I've said before on this podcast, I'm a part of what you'd call a mega-sized church. My family and I are members there. So yes, we have a big structure and program with the youth, but we make sure that, again, there's leadership, that some of them lead the youth and kids programs. They're involved in worship during kids' church. We have kids that love singing and worshiping during kids' church. Youth events. It's youth. So by the way, every youth event, basically virtually every youth event, minus a few, we have a teenager or a young 20-something that is not only are they leading worship, they are bringing the message on youth night, or what we call our wave night at our church. So yeah, giving them opportunities to lead. I like it, Thomas. So it's taking it a step further. Yeah. So
yeah, good stuff.
Next one is a little different. Like this actually stuck out to me. It made sense to me, but we always think of, when we think of, groups, we think of small groups, but now there's even a trend in having what's called a micro group. So this actually could be just a couple of people, not even like a small group of maybe 5 or 10, but even a 2 people that have coffee and check in and have accountability throughout the week.
Yeah. So here's what I'm noticing is that anytime we can facilitate people from our church making connections together, it's almost always a win, right? So I think that for churches for years, we've really tried to lean away from Sunday school models and that kind of stuff and into small groups, life groups, community groups, whatever you call them, which whether they're at the church or in homes, we knew the value of small groups. But I just see that churches that are doing well and growing right now, they're having a broader definition of what a small group, or in this this time we're talking about micro communities, like they're having a broader definition of it, and they're doing anything we can to get the people of our church together. And here's why this matters, is that this is kind of back to that AI changing thing, part of the conversation. Our world has for decades now become more and more isolated. And it started, a while ago, like even things like air conditioning made us more isolated because we didn't have to sit on our front porches to cool down anymore. So we can go inside, and garage doors close us off to our neighbors, and the internet made us more isolated. And my goodness, AI is going to make all of that look like it's the kiddie pool, basically, because AI is making us more isolated than ever before. And so really what the church's big opportunity is right now is building community, giving in the world of isolation and everything fake, we can give community and real connection and authenticity at the same time. So I'm seeing churches really leaning into this. Now, the challenge as someone who's loves to count everything is these can be hard to quantify and count and measure and that kind of stuff. But man, just giving people from our church permission to start all kinds of different groups and just releasing them and like basically commissioning them to do it, like that they're actually representatives of the church to go out there and do these things. That's making a huge impact right now.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And so this next one I know you'll enjoy, Thomas, optimizing your church for, optimizing specifically your church website for AI.
Yeah.
This is something I bet a lot of churches aren't thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is optimizing your church website for AI, but it's just basically, and I just did a video about this. I'll leave a link to it here so you can check that out. But optimizing it so that ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini or whatever you use, that they will recommend your church. This is something that is a new discipline right now that didn't exist a few years ago. We didn't even think this is a thing, but get this. In the first half of 2025, so this is like 6 month old data, my guess is it really has grown since then, the number of times, like the amount of recommendations that ChatGPT specifically is giving to other sources and links off increased 500%. So it 5x'd in 6 months' time. So January to July of 2025, it saw that kind of increase. I think it's probably even grown faster in the second half. And then here we are in 2026. It's continuing to grow. So what does that mean? ChatGPT and all the other AI platforms out there are now one of the primary ways that people are getting recommended services and restaurants and products, and yes, churches are included in that too. So what can your church be doing to do this? Well, the good news is a lot of it is very similar to what you would do to get Google to recommend your church, getting your local SEO stuff dialed in. But one kind of a quick win that makes a really big difference is making sure you really nail FAQs on your site. Thinking about what are those questions that someone might type into a ChatGPT or something like that, and making sure you answer it in a very kind of a ChatGPT quotable kind of a way. So I would make a point of doing that on every ministry page right now. So your youth ministry would have an FAQ section with, you know, maybe like 60 to 100 words for each answer. Your children's ministry, your what you believe section, making sure you have Q&As and FAQs and that kind of format. That's kind of a quick win there. But if you want more of a deep dive, again, I do recommend you watch that video I recommend. I go really deep on what are the five steps that churches should take right now to get ChatGPT to recommend your church when someone searches, what's the best church in my city?
That's good. Yeah, no, that's good. I like that you mentioned the FAQs, which by the way, that's been good content to have on your site anyway, but specifically for this reason. So, good. And I like this next one. We talk a lot about measuring and there's a lot to measure. I will say we've seen churches be measuring results and data and things a lot more effectively over the last few years. But for this particular point, we're saying, let's measure what actually matters. So what do we mean? What actually matters, Thomas?
So I think that we really want to move, I don't want to say move away. So this is a temptation. a lot of times we know that like the number of people that show up on Sunday isn't the end all be all of church health, right? So yeah. I think everybody realizes that. Now, it's foolish to say, I'm not going to measure that anymore. I'm not even going to count how many people came on Sunday. Yeah, don't be that. Like, that's not a wise way to lead your church. Obviously, that number still matters. But I think what we're seeing is this pushback to the idea that that's the only thing that matters. And so what we're trying to do is really measure more things that actually measure spiritual growth. So, you know, it's stuff that you probably do already kind of count to some degree. But here's a big one for us. Baptisms. Like, so baptisms were one of these things we decided last year that we wanted to measure. And we got really serious about it. And here's what you find is that when you decide you're going to measure something, you usually find ways to get more of it. So last year, we saw 51 baptisms at my church, New Hope Hawaii Kai, because we decided in January or in December when we made our goals for 2025, we wanted to see more baptisms. So we decided to measure it. We put it in our little weekly spreadsheet of what our counts were in different areas, which does include attendance counts and that kind of stuff. But we started measuring it, and then we went back and looked and kind of looked at how many we had the year before. It was like 15 baptisms in 2024.
Yeah.
So we saw like a 3x in baptisms just by starting to measure these kinds of things. So that's awesome. A great idea, measuring things like number of people that are going in life groups. Here's one of the things that has been a challenge for us is there's lots of different ways to measure these things. Like, I've often measured like how many groups do we have, like how many life groups are happening at our church. That's an important thing to know. But we found that what's more important is how many people in our church are unique members of a life group. So, we found that as we did an audit, a lot of people that were in one life group were also in two other life groups or being counted there too. So really our reach wasn't as broad as we thought it was. So we really tried to nail it down and get the answer to the question of how many people and what percentage of our church is involved in a life group right now. When we measure that, we can start to kind of optimize to make sure we increase that number and get the results we're actually looking for. So that's some of the stuff I'm thinking about. I don't know. What do you have to add, Ian?
Well, those are two good ones. Small group involvement, baptisms, those are people going actually deeper. Of course, there's like serving, service opportunities, who's serving, new people serving in certain areas of ministry, also as far as another one. So
let me do one more. There's one more that I think that most people don't measure, and we found it to be really beneficial. At the end of our services, we invite people, if they need prayer, to come up and receive prayer from our prayer team. And we've found this to be a really valuable spiritual growth metric to see, when people take that leap in front of their entire church to go up and say, I need to be prayed for. That shows us that God's doing something in their hearts.
That's a big step.
Yeah, exactly. So it is not people that are deciding to follow Jesus. Obviously, that we've always measured that. But number of people that want to get prayer for any number of reasons. Yeah. And so we started counting that on our Sunday spreadsheet of attendance and decisions and baptisms.
Yeah.
One of the columns on there is how many people went up to receive prayer. And we've seen that number grow too as we become more intentional. And that's really the trick. This is what's so amazing about measuring is that you're usually going to get more of the things that you're measuring for. So, if we want more baptisms and decisions and people receiving prayer, let's start measuring it. And we've seen results from that.
I like that one. Yeah, I we do that at our church. We have an altar call after someone makes a decision to follow Jesus. There's also, we have like prayer partners up at the front if someone has a need. And that's a big deal for people to pass up everyone, go up there and take that step. It does show health and growth in a church. So
I've
good
gone
example.
Up at your church before, Ian. I went up to receive prayer once when I was at your church many, many years ago. So
well, you may not. Well, it depended on which church you talk about. You went to when we first met my old church.
No.
And actually, you went up to the front and I prayed for you, if you remember that. So when
I
you
don't
when
remember
you
that.
So so anyway, it was kind of a funny thing. But it was a long time ago, Thomas. Yeah. I know which you're talking about. My church now. So but. Good. This last one is kind of what I referred to at the beginning of this podcast with a tried and true to not forget about. And that's that, hey, make sure your website stays up to date in 2026.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so this is something that you just will not get away from. That we've been answering the same question for decades, literally now, Ian. Like, do people even use websites anymore for churches? And, you know, aren't they all just using Instagram now? Or before that was, aren't they just using Facebook now? Or before that it was, aren't they just using our MySpace now? Or that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's, are they just using the Yellow Pages now? Why would someone use a website? So it's been this same conversation, and there's always been, aren't they just doing this now? No, like this is still the one, this is your digital real estate. This is your digital online building, the one place that you own the conversation. And it is something that you cannot ignore. Is, are the other things important? Is Instagram important? Yeah, it's valuable. Is your YouTube channel important? Yes. But like, if you had to get rid of everything else, your website is still the first place that people that are not yet a part of your church are going to learn about your church. And they will almost always decide whether they're going to fit in at your church or not based on their experience on your website. The exception to that is like if a friend grabs them and says, you're coming to church with me. So those people, we're not against that. Like, obviously that's important. But if people are looking for a church on their own, they absolutely get on your website and they absolutely decide which church they're going to visit based on their impression that they see on there. So you got to do an audit. You have to make sure you're dialed in. I would recommend getting some fresh eyes to look at it. And obviously, Ian, you can help them. We do a free website and marketing review that they can get our fresh eyes if a church wants to get that. I'll leave a link to that down in the description. I can't put it in the card. So I'll leave a link in the description. You guys can sign up for that. And I'll just tell you real quick, it's a 100-point review of all of your church marketing, but a lot of it is built around where your website is right now. And so Ian and his whole team will, you guys will put that together for them and send them out a review. Is that right, Ian?
Absolutely. We'll send it out and even walk you through it if you'd like. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So yeah, I hope you guys take advantage of that. It's totally free. We do it because we love churches and we want to be able to help churches reach more people and grow. So take advantage of that. Anything to add as we wrap up, Ian?
No, no, Thomas. I think that was good. I mean, I think again, most of this stuff is kind of, I would say newer, but some of it, again, tried and true. But yeah, hopefully this was applicable to a lot of folks out there to implement here this year.
Yeah, that's it. I'm rooting for you, pastors. This is your year, 2026. I'm praying you guys will see more visitors. You'll reach more people and grow. And if you're looking for some help, we'd be happy to chat. Talk to you next time, and we'll see ya.
See ya.